Larry Bluestein, Danny Garcia, we take you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be with us on this Thursday evening. A lot going on tonight, as I said, as far as our coverage for you. Thanks so much in our opening two segments to Damon Cogdell, head coach at the University of Fort Lauderdale. Also to Brandon Helwig, as we talked to Brandon about UCF sports. And the Big 12 will be releasing their schedule next week. The ACC scheduled came out last week. University of Miami, 8 home games, which is good news, but a pretty tough schedule. David Lake from Inside the U is kind enough to join us. Dave, thanks so much for taking the time on this Thursday evening.
Larry, good to be on with you. Glad to talk 2025 schedule with you.
Yeah, let's look at this schedule. This is, at the beginning, you knew kind of like who's home, who's away, but then all of a sudden, the timing of it, 2 off weeks, a game on Sunday night, a game on Thursday night, right? Thursday or Friday? Friday,
yeah. Friday.
Friday night, a Sunday night, Saturday afternoon, most likely. Talk about this. The main thing, obviously, is Notre Dame coming in on August 31st on a Sunday to kind of kick things off, and then a couple of manageable home games after that.
Yeah, I think, honestly, a lot of programs, there's some good and bad to opening with a team like Notre Dame. I think Mario Cristobal embraces that challenge because it does give your program something to really focus on the entire offseason, that season opener against a premier program. We saw it last year with Miami having to open at Florida, and they certainly did well in that challenge, and they'll try and do that again. And then, really those first 5 games, Larry, you have the kind of name brand opponents on the schedule all in those first 5 games. You got Notre Dame, then a couple weeks later, you host Florida, and then you travel to Florida State a couple weeks after that. So one interesting thing about this schedule too, Larry, is Miami doesn't leave the state of Florida until November.
Till November the 1st against SMU.
Yes. So not only is it's 8 home games. You don't leave the state till November. The bye week, the bye week's around the Florida State game. I've never seen anything like that. So, I think it's on the table that Miami could, be relatively fresh going into November. But I do think those final 6 or 7 games are going to be a grind. And Miami wants to get to the playoff. You got to navigate that ACC schedule. And that's kind of the next challenge for Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, as I found out this year, it kind of looked like it was kind of laid out for him, which it was. And obviously that Syracuse game was a big downer. But the good thing, too, obviously SMU on the road, we'll see a lot of familiar faces. But the last 2 games are kind of traditional games. Big East game, Virginia Tech, Pitt. Usually on that last the Saturday after Thanksgiving, kind of wrapping up the season on the road. The schedule, as you said, it's competitive, no doubt. 8 home games. I thought I was looking at Ohio State because they usually have 8 home games. But having the 8 home games, having a traditional rival like Florida come in, after last year, certainly Florida finished really, really strong. If we kind of knew then at the beginning, I think that kind of enhanced Miami's rankings towards the end of the year by beating Florida. Get another game against USF, which will be interesting. Louisville, last year was one of the most exciting games that they had, an offensive show. Get an opportunity to play Stanford. Don't ever remember Miami playing Stanford. Is this their first meeting?
It's the first matchup, I believe. Yep.
Yeah, because I don't ever remember that. Certainly a NC State game. Obviously with what's going on now with the transfer portal, Miami's kind of gearing up. And the one thing, too, and I know you'll agree, is where a lot of teams use the portal, and they've used it well, Miami's recruited extremely well over the last 2 cycles. Talk about that as being an enhancement.
You got to do both, right? And really, if we're talking about talent acquisition – to me, and I think you agree, like it has to start with high school recruiting. That's how you really build a program and really establish, you know, talented homegrown players. I think you can get good players in the portal, right? But you can't do that at every position, really. I think offensive line in particular, which is, you know, Mario's bread and butter, it's very hard to get big-time, freaky offensive linemen in the portal. And so that's right. The point of emphasis in high school recruiting. Also the defensive line, you know, Mario wants a line of scrimmage team. So they certainly, you know, this is going to be year four of the Mario Cristobal era. And so certainly those guys in his first full recruiting class, guys like Francis Maui Noah, Mark Fletcher, those guys are now entering their third year into the program, and they're now looked at as leaders, right? And so I think you're just going to see the talent level and the depth continue to rise. They've really tried to improve the secondary in the portal this offseason, and I think that's, you know, every team in this portal era is going to have its holes, but I do think Miami has worked hard to address their holes from last year.
Yeah, no doubt. David Lake joining us inside the U is what he does. And you know what? Before we let you go, when is there going to be a time? Now, Miami's used a portal the last two cycles to get a quarterback. Do they have to start developing? Because you know as well as I do, they're going to start losing kids. You don't want to do that. I mean, they're already doing it, you know, with one of the quarterbacks that they coveted early on. This will be his second go-around where he's not being really considered for the start, the top job. But what about somebody like a new Luke Nickell, who is highly regarded and pursued by Alabama and by Georgia and some of the bigger schools in the Big Ten? Is there a point right now where starting right now, him being on campus, that you've got to develop him as your next quarterback?
I think there is optimism that he could be a future starter at Miami. What does that timeline look like? I don't know. And look, I'm with you, Larry. Like, I think it is good to develop your own quarterbacks, but it's also tempting, man, to know what you're getting at that very important position. So, you know, ultimately, I think it comes down to like how Luke Nickell performs in practice and if he leaves no doubt that he can be the guy, which I think he has that potential. So I think he can be. What's the timeline on that? I truthfully don't know the answer.
With the uncertainty of your quarterback that's coming in from a health standpoint, this spring really means a lot. Emery Williams gets probably a final shot to show that he can compete. This is going to be an interesting spring. I'm looking forward to it. David, I can't thank you enough. Let everybody know how they can follow you on a daily basis.
Yeah, go check out InsideTheU.com. So we do our best to cover the program recruiting and team-wise. So thanks for having me on, Larry.
You do a great job. Thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you after spring.
Thank you, sir.
Good stuff. David Lake, Inside the U, ends hour number one. Please do not go away. We've got some great interviews coming up right after the hour. Head coach James Colsey, the third from Florida A&M.